religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to have you with us after a long weekend. Lots going on around the world. You're not hearing the half of it, and yet somehow we're still here for another show. The amount of corruption seems to increase exponentially, almost on an hourly basis. The things that are coming out, the ways that they're trying to silence the truth, not just from the airwaves or where people may be speaking publicly, but also on the internet, and they're trying to shut down websites that are printing the truth or interfere with shows that deal with the truth. And I guess if you're corrupt, you have a lot to be afraid of. You have, number one, getting caught and actually having the people do something about it is probably their biggest fear. And I sense that may actually be happening on some level, and is going to increase. I was reading something earlier today about the protests that have been going on in England and how they're herding protesters into cordoned off areas and in some cases provoking people into defense mode by beating them, and there's one man who was returning home from work, just kind of passing through an area where a demonstration was going on, and he was assaulted by British police and hit over the head several times with billy clubs or whatever other things they were using, and this man died right on the spot. It's a shame what goes on, and no one is the shame here is not just the murder, but the fact that no one is being charged with anything. This is being condoned in one of the most, if not the most, surveilled countries in the world. England has thousands of cameras that spy on people day and night, all hours of the day, all hours of the night. And it's used as a tool to make people comply. Now, if that is communism, I don't know what it what is. Tonight, we're going to talk about something along those lines, but a bit similar, and a bit different in a couple of ways. The repression, of course, is similar. The fact that governments just change their policies toward their people on a whim, and we're just expected to take it without voicing our opinions or without taking some kind of action. Then we have this myth we're told this in elementary school, that anyone can become president of the United States. That's the kind of government we have, that's the kind of country we have, that's the nature of our law, that anyone born on U.S. soil can become president of the United States. In fact, you're supposed to be born on the soil to be eligible to become president of the United States. And yet, we have somebody sitting in the presidency right now who is not only not born in the United States, but not born to American parents. And he can't prove where he was from. And he's faked all the scenes in the photos. And that material will be out very soon for you to read from yours truly. And all I did was take the pictures they used and figured out how they altered them. And it should be embarrassing But I guess it doesn't matter. If it's a bunch of crooks running everything, then we can't expect them to be honest crooks, can we? With that, I would like to bring on tonight's guest. He's been on before, and we've talked about administrative law, and we've talked about this farce that's called the American Dream, culminating for those that actually would be so insane to want to become the President of the United States. We're bringing on a man who knows a lot about those laws, a lot about the history, and he also knows a lot about the Word of God. And we're going to mix the two tonight in our discussion, because this is really spiritual warfare that we're talking about here, folks. And we're going to cover it in a lot of different ways. Now, we're not going to get religious on you. And we're not going to necessarily get political. We're going to talk about our rights under the Creator in terms of the universe, and not this prison planet called Planet Earth. With that, tonight's guest, he has been on the show. He is a biblical scholar, and he is also becoming quite adept at figuring out the law here in the United States. Even though he's not an attorney, and he won't be giving legal advice, my good friend, Greg Pappas. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be on with you again tonight.
Well, you got to hear a little bit of a rant and an introduction, kind of
like
ranting news.
It was very good. I appreciate it.
Oh, man. There are just so many things to talk about. I could spend a couple of hours just talking about what I read today, and it's so ridiculous how opposite or dichotomous everything is. Things that are happening, you read one story in one place, and one news outlet, let's say, mainstream, and go to another, and the story's completely different. Totally different. And it's like, which story am I supposed to follow here? Well, when you use your discernment, you realize both are untrue. And I guess they're getting brave now and just putting out different kinds of stories about the same topic. You know,
I think you're probably right. No, you're probably right. In fact, I don't even know if this relates, or this thought flashed in my head about how it was like the last generation of leaders, the last surviving ones, like the Kissingers and the G.H.W. Bush and those old guard guys, you know, the Zbigniew Brzezinskis and these others that are still there. And then along comes this, and then, of course, Alan Greenspan leaves the Federal Reserve post, and we get Ben Bernanke. And I remember, I don't know why, maybe this my view, and this flashed in my head about their demise. Bernanke was known before, when he was on the Board of Governors, and in papers he'd written, I guess, since he came on scene in the Federal Reserve system, about if the collapse ever came on his watch, he would just dump helicopters full of paper dollars on the society and have people have money to spend. And yet, I remember now that supposedly he's done that, and I know this is sort of off topic, but none of that money ever made it to the people that in his papers were supposed to get it. You know, people so they can go buy a new TV or a VCR or whatever they need to buy, you know, a car or something. It's never made it there. And I'm wondering, is that part of their own demise, the fact that that they can't, well, I don't know if they ever really wanted it to get to the grassroots, but the fact that none of it did and that he was expected to get it there, is that maybe evidence of his, of their whole system collapsing on themselves, that they've been completely unsuccessful and able to stimulate any kind of an economy or any kind of a growth system?
I think that's part of it. From what I have been researching, we'll say, because it's a combination of finding some things for myself, you know, on my own, and following what others before me have, or others are currently, you know, investigating right now. Okay. I think the phony derivative hedge fund market and the combining of public money for private gain, which is the simplest way I can describe how they're stealing money from the public, from on a local, state, and then federal level, and the problems they're having with the international debt. Their investments are worthless,
mm-hmm.
and that the gold that they presume is there, and I suppose we could throw silver in there too, has been stolen.
Right.
And I've been saying this for 3 years, and actually, within the past 2 days, over this weekend, I've read a series of articles that substantiate everything I've been saying. And this is from somebody with connections on a very high level. This is something I read, but this person came out and was basically applauding the efforts of those of us who are looking into all this corruption. So this is going on, and it's known, and there are forces that are fighting it. So to answer your question, part of it is what you described, that this money that Bernanke supposedly was going to bestow upon the people, that didn't make it there because they're assigning the debt for that money to restart their bogus operation, which has basically been frozen overseas. Yeah. Other countries have been looking into their assets and have found that they're not here, that they've been stolen.
Yes.
So it's much larger than what you proposed, yet they want us to take fall for it. In other words, they're above the law. They're above any responsibility for anything that they've done. They're beyond reproach, in other words. Well, and I say get rid of the whole lot of them.
I agree. In fact, part of this has been that I think these guys were so arrogant, they thought, even though that there's been a continual drop in earnings of everybody in this country since, what, the mid-70s, and that the cost of everything has gone up, obviously, in fact, it was in 1985 or 86, I remember, because I'd worked around the car business back then, and they were already having to come up with creative financing, both for General Motors, Chrysler, and all the imports, too, Toyota, Nissan, Honda, and Hyundai was just getting started back then, and they had really difficult time with creative financing. In fact, that's when Ford and Chrysler, Ford, I think, first one that came up with a two-year lease program, try to keep people locked into Ford products every 2 years, replacing with another vehicle. I think, and that should have tanked then. That was the same year that that the current mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, came off Wall Street and put together this phony derivatives thing. And I think he ended up being worth $15 billion as a result of what he did to save Citibank, Chase, and Bank of America. And then, of course, that blew up in 95 with the Orange County, California issue. And then, of course, then we had the credit default swaps thing going. So I have to ask, this is something that's always bugged me, and you have to ask yourself, don't these people that were investing in this country, these other foreign countries, they had to know that derivatives were based on debt upon debt upon debt, and that they were actually buying something it was really akin to a Ponzi scheme or worse. They'd been better off going to Las Vegas and put their money there than they would playing this game. They had to know when this thing blew up, it was going to blow up completely and take everything down with them.
Of course. You're talking about criminals here now. Don't forget that. These aren't people
right.
who made some bad decisions. Their first decision was to do it, to plan it and scheme, to devise the very means through which they're doing it. And it's no different than our monetary system. It's exactly the same thing. Absolutely no difference. We're assigned debt either way, right?
Oh, it's debt going in and debt going out. You have a birth certificate that launches this onto a sea of commerce, and then with a Social Security number, solidifying it, and then when you're all done running your course, being a slave the whole lifetime, they write a death certificate so they can take you off the books. Now they can find they replace that one with another one, and it's like this continual list of slave or human resources being passed through a system. So you're right, it's a debt based system, but I don't think they ever expected it to fully collapse like it's doing now. I mean, I think they still think that there's people are going to go out and buy. You know, I mean, what was the average price of a car back in 1985? I think was still around $8,000, $10,000 or something. What's the average price of a car today? $30,000. And I think there's somebody who's making less money.
Yeah,
today,
somewhere between 20 and 30,000. Yeah.
So if that's the case, so if somebody, how does somebody who's making less money than they made in 1970 proportionally go out and buy a car that costs two to three times as much? It's impossible.
Well,
there's
no way
to justify it.
But they do that with houses too, don't they?
That's how they came up with the scam, right?
Yeah, the difference is they don't want to take the car back. In fact, they tell you it loses value. The reason they tell you that is to put them in a winning margin right from the get-go. You know, they say a car loses, what, 10 or 15% of its value as soon as you drive off the lot? What's so special about the lot? You know,
well,
it's like
30%. Yeah.
It's like it's God's throne or something, you know, or it's the Pope's seat in the Vatican, that car lot, that when you drive off the lot, you know, which might be 10 feet, you know.
I mean, you're right. It's the lust of having to have a new car as opposed to, and it's the fact that the reason General Motors and Ford and Chrysler and these companies are suffering right now, they build cars that decay almost immediately, you know, that they don't, you know. You pay all this money for something that begins to deteriorate, and even though the warranty says it covers all these things, by the time you're done, you're still being nickel and dime to death on a vehicle. So people say, what the heck, keep the old thing. I'm going to be nickel and dime to death. I'll do it without a note or without a payment on it if I got to buy a part. But I really believe these people didn't think the wheels were going to come off the cart. I think they thought that people would have the ability to keep enslaving themselves in, you know, the 2003 Alan Greenspan deal after the 9/11 event in 2001, I don't know that they understood what kind of a collapse they were going to create worldwide, because it's not over.
Here's an important point, if I can interrupt a second, Greg. They're claiming that they need the money, you see? They were producing cars. They've been producing cars. They haven't stopped producing cars. What you might find interesting is Ford closed a plant, if you want to talk about cutbacks, 3 months after they built a $100 million spray booth, a new spray facility to paint vans that they were building. They tore it down and distributed it amongst four other Ford factories in four other states. Now, where's the logic behind that? Their intention wasn't to stay open. Their intention was to be able to write off that cost, because that business was failing, you see? So they made that move. They saved themselves probably $100 million, okay? Not to mention, they were located in what's called a free trade zone under the port authority, so they didn't pay taxes. Now they had a small amount of money that they paid into the city's school funds, and because they're in between two communities, they owed money to both, and worked out some kind of under-the-table deal there. And one of the cities got the money, and the other one didn't. Now, you go by there today, of course, the whole factory is shut down and turned into an oversized parking garage, and outside there are thousands of Honda cars parked there in a lot. Now, I find it rather ironic that the company that used to manufacture the cars and park those out in the lot now have a Japanese auto manufacturer's car sitting in the lot. And the place is not open for business, okay? Other than it's a parking lot. Somebody's making a ton of money on that, okay? And no one questions that. Where does that money come from? Is that part of the bailout money? You see, it'd be interesting. But for them to just be able to assign this debt to us, just because they say they can or they feel like doing it, that's insanity. We're dealing with psychopaths, as Dr. Christopher Holmes said last week on the show. They're psychopaths. That's what we're dealing with, and we can't really make sense out of what they're doing, because they're insane and corrupt through and through. There's no doubt about it. They lie. They say one thing and don't mean anything they say. It's just for our consumption. It's for our brainwashing food, I guess. Just lie to the people and just tell them anything because it really doesn't matter. We're crooks. We're corrupt anyway. What good is it telling them the truth going to do? It's going to get us in a lot of hot water. So they have to lie.
You know? Not only do they lie, they even use a different language to lie with. I mean, they use legalese.
Yes.
The media is completely duplicitous with them. You said you had two different reports. You don't know which one is right. You probably think they're both wrong. And that fits with what the media's job is. It's all a giant distraction. Nothing to tell us the truth. This is actually some realization I've come to. Maybe I've known it for a long time, but I don't think that most of the people are capable of hearing the truth when they've been deceived the whole time about what is true. I mean, if for some reason they would come out and say, you know, let's say Barack Obama and George W. Bush come out there publicly and say, ha, ha, we've been, and Bill Clinton and maybe G.H.W. Bush comes out there also, maybe even Jimmy Carter, will throw him out there too. They'll come out and say, the whole thing's been a giant scam. We've just been front men for a cabal that runs the whole world, and you've all been victims of a giant hoax. Oh, by the way, even if they told the people, like things that we've been trying to tell them, we've substituted administrative illusionary world for reality. Even quote Franklin Roosevelt's 1935 speech where he said to Congress, we've substituted the illusion of reality for reality itself. Throw that out there. Tell them what it is. Tell them how they've all been tricked into participating in a scam. They really don't have any liability for the debt, that it really is a joke. And I'll tell you what, Don, I think most people would go, they think it was some kind of a fake show, that it wasn't real. But somebody was, in other words, even if these guys came out and told the truth, I don't think the public could handle it. I don't think they'd know what to do with it. You know, if they told them that their 30-year mortgages are a fraud, they didn't borrow anything, that they created their own money on the mortgage note, if we told them everything, these people would be so overwhelmed so fast, their eyes would glaze over, and they go right back to watching football, eating pizza, and drinking beer.
Well, if they had to be waterboarded, I think some of them would crack. A few of them. Barney Frank would, for sure.
That's true.
I don't know that they make a rag big enough or a bucket that'll tote that much water to drown Barney Frank. You know, but that's just a little political joke there, folks.
Yeah, I know. He's always found a way to weasel out of everything, right?
Everything. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I don't intend to turn everything I say into a rant, but, you know, I'm discerning. You know, I'm responding to your question, Greg, with discernment. And then I'm backing it up with the obvious. This is what's going on. Lou Dobbs, I tried to catch part of his show tonight, and that's all I did, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And he was talking to someone about H-1B, which is what they call the guest workers visa.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using this spin that that they have to lower the wages so that they can accommodate all the people that are willing to do the work that Americans won't do.
Oh my gosh! Even lower wages.
Yeah, they've been talking about this. I mean, this has been out there for years. This guest worker visa program, and so you hear this duplicitous argument. And it was something to the effect of that I listened to tonight. And they were both lies. I mean, mm-hmm. they're cutting the jobs because they exported the jobs. So these people are out of work. So you're saying that a guy that's working for Ford or GM and they close down the plant, all of a sudden because he's not in line for that job to pick tomatoes, that he's unwilling. You know, the guy might be in Maine, let's say, okay, and the tomato picking's going on in California. How is a guy supposed to become aware of that job? Are people being offered these jobs? No, they're shipping illegal aliens by the truckload to these places. Uh-huh. And they had a little bit of a crackdown last year. If you remember, ICE came out and arrested some people. You know, they make these token arrests. A couple of farms or agricultural businesses were raided, and they found some people, and they tell us that they sent them out. But they very well could have brought some more back, you know, or the same ones. You don't really know. There's no way to follow up. It's what they're telling us they're doing. Now, these are the people that lie to us all the time. So should we start believing these things, or should we indiscriminately choose what we're going to believe and what we're not? And it's really not about belief, is it? It's about knowing, you see?
Yes.
And they do everything they can to impede the knowing, you know, the accumulation of the information. They're above even supplying the information. You file a Freedom of Information Act request for some information, and they tell you it's national security, and they can't release it. You know, this is, the whole thing was set up from the beginning to permit this corruption. So they knew exactly what they were doing. Maybe they were hoping that we would just be too stupid to even realize that it was corruption, you know, that caused it to fall apart. But they've been blaming it on the people and assessing the damages, the liabilities to the people. Yet the people aren't permitted to participate in this stuff, are they? They have their own little game going on. We have to fund the game for them, and they lose in the game, and we're liable for their losses. Come on, wake up, people.
Well, the people have been conditioned to accept this. It's like looking back in the 70s or the late 60s when they came up with all the evidence of all the pollution that had been done. They started this whole campaign for the public school system and PBS and everywhere else to show their massive pollution, and all the while making people feel like we were responsible. The average man or child, man or woman and child, is responsible for the pollution, and yet it was, you know, the people that run the factories that profited off the whole thing. We're not responsible. Global warming is the responsibility of people, you know, who were told all we wanted to buy is SUVs and we didn't want hybrids. And yet 1993, when General Motors came out with the EV1 through the Saturn dealerships, leased out every single one. They were totally successful. And as soon as the leases run out, the oil companies get all panicky. They take all the cars and they crush them all. And then they don't develop the next technology for having full-blown electric cars. You know, this whole thing is always blamed on people. But again, I think they can get away with it, Don, because we're ignorant of our status and the fact that we have been tricked or duped or in our ignorance to accept this administrative game that they've created under their unincorporated implied charitable trust, that we've been party to by ignorance, I might say. I mean, it's completely ignorant that we've lost our rights. At least we've been tricked into believing we lost our rights, and so they can do whatever we want. If we could just start waking up and seeing that how they tricked us and how we could access those constitutional rights, or by binding these government officials back to their responsibilities, you know, we could change something. But I think it's only going to be done right now is if a few of us that are awake begin to apply these things and separate ourselves from this government. And let me throw this out there real fast for people, because I'm saying stuff that nobody's probably heard. There's an author who I've studied now for the last few months, and he's written on the law he's been studying it since 1969, and he's come up with incredible details. And the man's name is Lee Brobst, B-R-O-B-S-T, and you can study some of his books for free online, and there's other materials, but his basic outline is that the founders put together a system that was predicated on two parts. The Articles of Confederation, which were done first, I think it was 1782, they ratified, even though I think they were originally beginning to be followed right during the Revolution. And in there, it did not allow for international trade. And so in order to allow for international commerce to take place and also to satisfy the bankruptcy, which they don't want to talk about, to the French king, which was a vassal of England, they had to come up with a document that would allow for private associations or unincorporated associations or unincorporated implied charitable trusts to establish, like fraternal orders. And even though the founders didn't like those things to operate completely freely, they had no choice, because according to, at least this is Lee's take on it, that they didn't want to have the Constitution be a totalitarian document. So, but the net result is today the country is completely run by these foreign, private, unincorporated, implied charitable trusts. And so, and we've all been brought under them through trickery and deceit and our ignorance. And as a result, they operate this little game, which you talked about at the beginning of our discussion, with Barack Obama being the president of the United States. And as you and I have also discussed, and I'm sure you've had other guests discuss it, he's really just the head of a corporation with its largest, I think, largest part of it being U.S. Arms, which is the largest arms supplier to the world for fun and profit in the civil wars and revolutions. And I think all the other parts of it are probably the illicit drug cartels along with the legal drug cartels and this whole system with Halliburton and now Blackwater becoming Exe and all this other stuff. Anyways, my point is that there still is a parallel government. I mean, I take that back. Let me change that. The system that Barack Obama is part of is nothing more than an organized crime syndicate or an administrative series of agencies. It's not a government. And the real government has been masked. At least that's my opinion. And that the government, the real government, is still there, but we've not accessed it. We need to find a way to pull it back.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's basically that's what I was saying in my rant anyway.
But, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
Well, that was in layman's terms that I brought it out.
right.
And you're really not using legalese. You're talking about this fiction. Well, then we have to look at our history books, because this is something that I've shared with my listening audiences on many an occasion, and in my writing. We've been lied to about history. We've been given a series of stories and told that this is what happened. And we're discovering that the people are not who they claim to be, and which leads one to readily grasp the concept that if they're not who they say they are, then and they're lying about who they are, they must be lying about other things, you see? And we're finding that out, aren't we?
Well, we sure are.
Now,
every
in terms...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in terms of what you're describing and what that means, you know, in this country where anybody can become president, and boy, isn't that true?
Yeah, you're right.
Anybody. I guess the man in the moon could run and actually win. But in light of that, okay, for the listeners that are hearing this for the first time, we're comparing what two different things here. We're comparing an apple and an orange. And we're being told that there's just an apple. But we're finding out that the apple doesn't just have worms, it's rotten. Now, the orange would be what, in that sense?
You mean the pristine government, the real deal behind the scenes that's been buried?
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm getting to. In other words, we've been led to believe that we have they use the term democracy. We know it's a republic, and we had certain rights, and the government that we have is not the government we've been told we have, and that
right.
should raise a lot of issues as to the legalities and the recourse that we have.
That's good, because that's the basis of what I've been studying, that this thing that's operating today literally is technically operating within the confines of the Constitution, that there was an open channel for this type of a system to be established. The founders, I think, warned against it, but they left the door open for the possibility in order to actually operate under international commerce. But but the thing we have today has morphed into, like I said, there is no government, at least on the outside. What we're seeing there is a series of administrative agencies operating everything under this foreign, private, unincorporated, implied charitable trust. And just let me specifically state what this is. I know it sounds like a lot of words, because I used to think a corporation was a bad thing. But the case to look at, which it's taken me several months to actually wrap my mind around this, is William Dixon versus United States. It's an 1811 case, and Justice Marshall ruled on it. And throughout the document, it's 11 pages, I believe it's a PDF format. You can find it, read it exactly as it was. And he states that the United States is the grand old corporation. And as a grand old corporation, had the ability to own land and sell land and own things and sell things and be sue and be sued, just like any other corporation can. But as its original intention was, it was a corporation founded by the people, with the people having control over it. That's why the arguments about corporations through the last 200-plus years have raged over whether corporations need to be controlled by the people. And, of course, the people were supposed to be at the top, and the corporation was at the bottom. But because it was supposed to be the people, then the state, and then the government, and then the corporation. Well, everything is flipped. Today, where we have the corporation on top of the government, on top of the state, and the people are on the bottom, and, of course, God is dead last. And the evidence of this is, look at the flagpole. The flagpole's got the American flag on top of the state flag, whereas if this was operating under the republic, the state flag would be above the federal flag. And so we've had a complete flip. And this was brought out with a friend of mine who was a state representative in Idaho who was introducing the 10th Amendment legislation for Idaho, and I pointed out to him, you don't have a state of Idaho. What 10th Amendment you think you're applying? You know, you guys have sold out at least by 1976, and all the states became political subdivisions or franchises of the municipal corporation. Now, I'm not clear on the details of all this yet, but part of it is it's either under District of Columbia or the two counties surrounding D.C. So I think one is Alexander and the other one is Washington. I might be wrong. It might be another name on the first one. But that these counties, which were the primary counties of the slave trade going back into the early 1600s or mid-1600s, whenever the slave trade got really going, is now where this whole government situation under this administrative world is run out of. And the long and short of it to me is this. The country that we thought existed still is there. It's been masqueraded or hidden under this series of the states giving up their sovereignty, starting in the 50s, originating in 46 with the Administrative Procedures Act, 48 on June 25th, 1948, when Truman signed the last legislation for all the states then to acquiesce and become part of this new administrative world. And I believe I was told that the last state became part of it was in 1976. Now, I don't know the correlation with this, but the 1976 was the year of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, which was, it's called, the full definition, or full title is Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act of 1976, and it was codified in Title 28, USC 1602 to 1611, 1330, 1332, and 1442, and the preceding instrument that set it up was 1746, Sections 1 and 2. And the reason those numbers are important, that's where a supposed remedy was placed in there. Now, I haven't done the full analysis of this yet, but if there is a remedy, it might very well be that we have to go backwards from whatever they left us, a hole, the doorway back into the Republic, that this might be the doorway back in. Again, that's Title 28, USC 1746, as the beginning of a remedy, Sections 1 and 2, and then the codification of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act was Title 28 USC, United States Code 1602 to 1611, 1330, 1332, and 1442. And because it appears
What was that third number?
The first one is...
I'm joking.
Okay. I got you. Well, I mean, we'll be doing more shows on this as I get this stuff down, but...
We think
there is a remedy. We think they've left a remedy that we have not known before how to access a way back to the Republic.
Okay, great. Let me say something here. Now, imagine that I'm Joe Sixpack.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm living up in the hills someplace. And
okay.
And we don't even have electricity up there. So. We're being taught one thing in the schools, okay?
Right.
And
right.
What you're describing is a different creature altogether. So why the story in the school?
the story of the schools is to lock everybody into a complete systematic mindset to become worker bee commercial slaves for the world system that's operating today. They cannot afford to have, in other words, everybody has to basically conform to the same system. I'll throw one out there today. I have a son, I have an eighth grade son, and he's extremely smart and balanced right brain, left brain, because he's gotten both of that fed to him his whole life and ate healthy and did all these things properly. And he took a test, I think an ISAT they call it, I think he did math today, and he basically has been nonchalant the last year or so in school. It's been boring to him. So he takes his ISAT, totally didn't prepare for it, and he gets, I think, a 283 out of a 289, because he missed one question. And then I asked him tonight about it. He said to me, he says, yeah, I knew the answer to that one, too. It just slipped my mind right then and there, but when I re-looked at it after I finished it, I knew the answer because they showed it to me. And I went, wait a minute. So here he is. He's a musician, and he's, you know, in mathematics and science and everything else, and he doesn't even prepare for this ISAT. And if you ask him, if you were to ask him how things are going, he would tell you that things are a mess. Now, that's obviously because, you know, he has heard this stuff his entire life, and he knows something is out of whack. But all I'm saying is he's one of how many kids that could think for himself and actually knows what's going on. So you're right. The society has been conditioned to be slaves. And he watches it. He sees all the guys that have got themselves lined up to be valedictorian already in the eighth grade by the time they graduate from high school. And yet he looks at these guys and he throws simple logic at them about what's going on in the world, and they don't understand any of it. But they can take a test. And they can pass tests, and they can write papers that make teachers happy. Sounds like medical doctors and lawyers that go to medical school and law school and come out institutionalized to the max, unable to think at all for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but in essence, the bottom line is the education is a lie, right? We're being told lies.
Complete lies.
Okay, and it's put in books, which makes it look official, but we're lied to there. And we're lied to by the mainstream media, TV, radio, print media, books, and in the speeches. What we see on C-SPAN or any political channel is nothing but more lies, then. It's just a game. It's smoke and mirrors. It's the Wizard of Oz. Maybe Alice in Wonderland would be a better description.
It's a mirror image, right.
Okay, so... So what do we do about it?
Well, the movie The Matrix gave an answer. I mean, I don't think we've done a whole discussion on the movie The Matrix, but that I believe that they have given us clues, and I think they let the cat out of the bag with that movie. That one must have been written by a scholar. It wasn't written by the Wachowski brothers or Sophia Stewart, who claims she wrote it. Somebody more ingenious than any of those people wrote that script, and it was followed word for word. I think 98% of the original script was followed in the movie, and including that includes the props and all the scenes were laid out exactly as to how they were supposed to be put out. Because I think the powers that be are so arrogant that they didn't think that anybody would be able to have any brain power left after this institutionalizing system that we have. And by the way, Don, I would like to say that even homeschooling curriculum and private school curriculum is as institutionalized as the public schools. They're If you were to take, for example, the prep courses for to go to law school out of the public schools, you know, prepping kids to become attorneys, or if you were to prep them to go to Michael Ferris's school or to get into Jay Sekulow's or any of these other, or Ralph Pat Robertson's schools or any of these schools, you'll see that there's not a dime's bit of difference between the training that those people get in those law schools than you'd get going to Harvard or Yale or one of those schools, Stanford. It's the same propaganda, just a different take.
It's not necessarily let's put it this way. There's no guarantee that going to Harvard or Yale is going to make you better at what you do. It's the stigma that goes along with being part of those schools. For instance, it has to do with secret societies, and I've debunked one of the web pages for the Loeb Classic Library in an article I've written, and no one's ever come back to refute what I said. In fact, it can't be refuted because I told the truth. And that was Harvard.
Sure.
Okay? So these universities lie. Let me throw one more thing out, and this is the kind of lies the media tells. And this was a short little bit that I heard on Lou Dobbs tonight. And he brought up this issue that he had asked for a study on what was happening with the economy. And two professors, one from the Wharton School of Business, and the other, I think, was from Stern College, were told by their superiors, their administrators in the colleges, to cease from this work that they were doing. They were examining the economy and came up with some rather startling figures. And of course, they're investigating causes and that, too. So, they, you know, this was not to come out, this information. So their freedom of academia was denied. So look at what's going on. Look how these schools treat their own. You see, they want them to comply with a mindset of brainwashing and propaganda and under the guise of education, putting the students in tremendous debt, usually for the rest of their lives. Yeah. You know, you have to pay off these exorbitant, you know, $60,000 and up a year. You know, that's, you end up with a bill of $250,000, and you don't have a job yet. And so they're forced to take these jobs in areas like the legal profession, where it is corrupt, and that way they're guaranteed that they're going to get that money back, unless of course they pull a bailout like they did, you see, because they're going to pay off those loans for seed capital for more corrupt investments. But go ahead, I didn't mean to.
Well, no, you know, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, or that we don't. I looked at it, the degree system, for example. I consider it all Masonic degrees. I mean, every degree is a Masonic degree. You know, the same words, the same terminology, and I get so conspiratorial. I actually call the Fahrenheit temperature scale a Masonic scale, because 32 degrees is the highest earned rank in Freemasonry, and that's the temperature going up where the water begins to thaw and the temperature going down begins to freeze.
Mm-hmm.
33rd degree is the first honorary degree. Remember when Jack Kemp and Bob Dole came out with their 33rd degree of newspaper clippings when they were running for president and vice president? And I kept pointing out to everybody, look, this is it's everywhere in our lives. We get college degrees, and we accept them, and we use the mortar board. For God's sakes, that represents the Masonic mortar, you know, on a hat that they wear with the cap and gown for graduation. I mean, it's so obvious the whole thing is Masonic. The only way out of this thing, Don, I would see, is if maybe guys like you and myself and others that were awake started an educational system that was not based on degrees but was based on the truth, and you were tested on your ability to rationalize and understand logic and the truth, as opposed to going to law school and coming out with a degree and being seen as which attorney could be the biggest whore over the next one. You know, who could screw people the best. I think one of the best shows on that, there was a show on, I think it got canceled this year, but it was called Boston Legal, and with William Shatner, and I forgot the other guy's name, Spader, that's it. And it was tongue in cheek, but it was totally revealing to the inner workings of attorneys that the whole thing's a giant fraud. It's a giant mm-hmm. joke. And if we could see, you know, guys like you and I see this, but I mean, if we could set up a counter court system, you know, not a counter court system, but a system that would show people how that they could be outside of the plane of jurisdiction of the court system, and how we could learn to operate a different system. But Don, I got to tell you something. I'm disappointed, and I'm going to throw this out at you. And if, most of what passes for alternative patriot media is as duplicitous in our ignorance as those on the side they claim to be opposed to.
I agree.
You know, they're not helping us.
Yeah,
they
agree.
Okay, good. So, this is what we're looking at, man.
I,
you're,
I was going to say, I won't mention any networks by name, but it becomes so obvious because I'm seeing a clash with what I know on every corner.
Yeah.
And when I say what I know, you know, those that have been down this path long enough begin to see and discern what is intended when it's said. You see something happen and you know why it happened, or you listen to the explanation they give you and you know what the real explanation should be. It comes to that. And when you're listening to there seems to be a whole new crop of talk show hosts that have come out of nowhere that are singing the same song, and there's a lot of errors in the information they're giving out. It's information is what it is.
I heard one today, and I won't name a name. I promise not to say that, try to tie it directly to him, but he's a very famous economist and worked in the financial business. And he's on all these different talk shows talking about his understanding of the economic system. And today, I just had it. I realized that this guy really doesn't want to change anything because he's made so much money off this fraudulent economic system that if it were, and a lot of other people that are retired now have made a fortune off this system, right? Mm-hmm. And if yours and my message were to get out, their fortunes would collapse because it's all predicated on people continuously buying 401ks and mutual funds and continuing to play in the stock market. And Don, the books have been cooked since, I don't, probably forever, but when I started looking in this industry back in the 80s, the books were cooked then. And so people are still supposed to invest they're supposed to slay themselves on a job, take a little bit of their money and put it into a 401k or IRA or SARSEP or SEP or something, whether they're doing it through the business or on their own, and a mutual fund that some salesman comes to convince them on, and I'll never tell them to put it into something like why don't you take 10% and we'll use this trust over here that we can put 10% into tangible gold for you. So if everything goes to hell in a handbasket and gold goes up 100 times, you don't lose everything. Oh, no. They got to get a hold of every penny you put in so nothing goes in anywhere, and yet somehow this thing's going to rise again. And when I heard this guy today saying that the world economy is still going well, my question to him would be if I could actually talk to this guy, and I probably should call him a show he's on sometime and ask him. But the question would be is this. Is any part of the system legitimate? For example, if the mortgage is a complete fraud, and I'm creating the money for the mortgage company, that's why I have to go into escrow to make this thing happen. What are people investing in when they're buying these mortgages and they're packaged and bundled and multiplied 10 times or more that the amount that goes out there? What are these people actually buying? What performance are they expecting to get a return on? And then tie that with everything.
Whatever else. The broker tells them. You know, yeah, whatever the broker tells, you know.
So because the whole system's a fraud, they can come up with any rate return they want to come up with and tell people, and there's no way to verify it. There's nothing. It's not based on anything. And these guys, even within the Patriot community, are still saying this thing is legitimate.
Yeah, well, you know, most of the stocks end up being signed over or ceded to a company called Seed and Company, which is part... Right. Part of the Depository Trust and Credit Corporation, who really retains all the wealth.
Yes.
It's a private company, and a foreign one at that, another foreign company.
It's all foreign.
Yeah, yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, people are still unaware of this. But this economist... and he wasn't AD, so he must have been BC.
Okay.
if we're thinking of the same person.
We are.
Okay. it's the same game that this individual is talking about. And trying to make sense out of this, like, well, they knew this was going to go bad, so they had to prop it up. Not describing that the whole thing is corrupt from the beginning, and they've stolen the money.
That's the theory that a friend of mine points out. He's got the line of chain of custody from the birth certificate, which the hospital gets paid $5,000 to $10,000 per birth certificate. That goes to the Department of Vital Statistics, from the Vital Statistics Department, it goes to the Department of Commerce, and from there it goes to the Depository Trust Corporation and Seeding Company. And that's then from there it goes on, it's multiplied and sold through A.G. Edwards and other brokerage houses. And just think about it, folks. Don, this makes it too hysterically funny. We're actually buying the enslavement of each other. It's so ironic. I mean, it's almost, you know, I can't. It just shows that we're all nuts because we're the whole thing is. I mean, from the birth certificate, and then you throw the Social Security number in there through the Department of Health and Human Services, which is the complete linking in with the 14th Amendment enslavement of us. The whole thing is complete slavery. So even guys within the Patriot community that are saying this thing is legitimate, they are there on the one hand saying, we want freedom, but there is no freedom when you're playing this game, and they're also profiting off of our ignorance. So again, the perpetuation, at least I see it, the perpetuation of ignorance has to be continued. It can't stop. And what you're doing with what your discussions are by exposing all these holes in their system, like stating what you said about Seeding Company, tying that to Depository Trust Corporation, that should be an awakening for people that hold, you know, to take your money you're putting into your 401ks and think about something different than handing it to a stupid stock advisor that all he wants you to do is make his commission. He doesn't care if you have anything left over as long as he makes his commission.
Yes. Now, if I may go a couple of rungs above that, what I just described.
Yes.
There is, it's been 3 years since I reported on the what's called the Office of International Treasury Control. Have you ever heard of that before?
No. Throw that one at me.
Okay. That is part of the UN. That's actually the UN. And their interest in the monetary affairs of the world. They have a guy by the name of His Excellency. This is their term, Dr. Ray C. Dam. Ray C. Dam, I found through my research, lives in Cambodia.
Oh.
And he's been entrusted with the largest pool of gold there is on the planet. Now, there have been numerous denials that this corporation exists. In fact, if you contact the UN, they'll say there is no such thing. And this is word for word what I read about 3 years ago on a radio show describing who they are. And this comes from somebody who works on international finance right now and is monitoring the corruption here in the United States. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from this, if I may. They're not real long. Originally established on January 20th, 1995, and following the confirmation of the powers and authorities of His Excellency Dr. Ray C. Dam by the Washington Panel in 1998, the Office of International Treasury Control was instituted on January 20th, 2003, as the Management Commitment and Operation Organization for His Excellency, Dr. Ray C. Dam. Though not generally or publicly known, OITC is the largest single owner of gold and platinum bullion in the world. OITC are also a major owner of bank debenture securities, international treasuries, cash, and other forms of securities. Since being established, OITC has become the largest single owner of home mortgage securities in the world today.
Oh.
Original assets in the form of gold have been wisely and well utilized to create wealth that creates further wealth. In March 2006, OITC could see the need for new paradigms in economic management within and between nations, and so decided to take new directions in investment with a focus on creating and developing economic systems that free indebted nations from external debt, yet maintains the full credibility and credit worthiness of those nations. It also will allow for investment into developed countries where severe problems may arise that demand major investment to protect agricultural industries without further burdening or extending the external debt level within that country. Now take that into account while they spray our skies with chemtrails, while they push for genetically modified foods and a consolidation of the food industry under the umbrella of Monsanto. Think about that. And you see a contradiction right away with what these statements. Now, this is an organization that's not supposed to exist. Okay? It's a pretty detailed explanation for something that doesn't exist. And it goes on and on and on. I could tell you a lot that this guy was trained in United States and England in the banking systems and then sent over to Cambodia to basically run the world.
From Cambodia? Can you believe of all places?
Yeah.
Cambodia?
Yeah.
Must be some kind of spiritual center or something of the universe.
I've been reporting on this for 3 years.
Okay?
And it just came out over this weekend again from a person who is basically a whistleblower as to the corruption that's going on in the world's financial system. And the same duplicitous nature that we face under our historical accounts in our textbooks and what we're told by the media is just as fraudulent in the financial world. Okay? And it's being watched. Now, you asked the question about it collapsing. And is it because of the people or is it the system? And it's both. But the system was designed to make the people that way. So they would just keep, you know, plodding along, just trying to survive. You see, most people are just at subsistence level. And so they don't have the wherewithal to think this through. They're so caught up in the game.
Yes.
But I thought I would add that part because that tells a completely different story from the bailout, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It explains a lot. It actually shows how it shows the motivation to control all hard and tangible assets, gold, silver, platinum, real property. The whole thing with Alan Greenspan, obviously taking his marching orders in 2003, I think it was, after they already reduced, got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, I think in late 99 or something. And then he comes along, and after they do the final reductions, maybe it was after that, but he gives the final marching orders to let the expansion on the real estate thing explode with no justification. And that thing takes off, for 3 years, I guess, till the end of 2005, everything is exploding, and all of a sudden the thing unravels, and here we are today with people believing that they have been wiped out, but you know, it's just been an illusionary transfer of perceived wealth. And, Don, I think a couple things that, well, I don't know where you want to go with the rest of that, what you just said, but I kind of like to throw just a couple thoughts as far as fraudulent contracts and how we've been deceived and how we're led to believe that we actually borrowed money or that the mortgages that we're dealt with are legitimate. And I may have said this on Monday last week, and I'm not sure, but that was the issue of the three phrases in a contract on a deed of trust, that I don't know if all the new ones have these, but I know all the ones until a few years ago had these three terms on the documents. And the first one was the word security agreement, the next one was the word lender, and the next one was the word borrower. And the unique thing about each of these on these documents was that they were all written or typed in quotation marks. And yet, even though they were in quotation marks, they were not defined in the actual body of the instrument. And as a result, I believe that that's been part of the fraud with these people that set up this mortgage system, making us believe that they were lending us something, but they were actually, everything was reversed. So the security agreement wasn't a security agreement. It was unsecured. And the lender was the borrower, and the borrower was the lender. And so in essence, even though it appears that these people have successfully transferred all the ownership and the control of all the real property in this country to themselves, the reality is probably that they didn't. And that's why they're wondering if people are going to wake up enough and be able to do their final foreclosure and drive everybody into the streets or to Barack Obama's latest, grandest plan for public service or forced public service. or something mm-hmm. like that. I don't know. Maybe we can have an impact still is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if I did this when you were on our show last Monday or not. Mm-hmm. I brought up the word. I know it was recently, later on in the week, the word inalienable. Okay, I believe the official document uses the spelling unalienable.
Yes.
But the correct word is inalienable.
I believe you did say something last week.
Did I? Okay. It means unable to be taken away from or given away by the possessor.
Yes.
Now, I understand that to be God's decree. Or an interpretation thereof. And so, if I wanted to give those rights away, I couldn't, according to that.
Right.
Okay? So how can they be taken from us? How can they lawfully be taken from us?
It's been trick and deceit that we ignorantly have let them go. And until we reclaim them and come back under the five parts of a contract, time, place, space, plane, and law form, and take ourselves off the same presumed plane of existence with them on their 14th Amendment status through our Social Security number, we're going to be deemed to be under their authority until we say otherwise.
Well, I would presume at that point we should just tell them, ha ha, we faked you out. We had you thinking that we didn't see the game. We've been faking it all along.
Well, and I think there's a way out to doing that. I think that's why it was Lee Brobst that pointed out the issue of the system switching from a system of paying for things to a debt credit system, and that whenever we became part of that as debtor and creditors, we were party to this whole game, and it's only by leaving that presumption, you know, can we change. Now, I don't have the answer to this, but I'm going to throw a theory out, and theory has not been practiced yet. Nobody's tried this out yet, so this is pure theory. And the theory is this. If somebody's in retirement age today and they've been wiped out, they're really dependent upon Social Security to even barely be at subsistence level. And with Social Security operating the way it is, it's obviously always below subsistence level. But I've been thinking that since we ran through the Depository Trust Corporation and Seeding Company and this whole process from the birth certificate there and so on and so forth, that my theory is that if we are receiving benefits through Social Security, that we're not necessarily now the beneficiary of the trust, which is what the original corporation of the United States of America was supposed to be, a trust. They were operating as a trustee for us, the beneficiaries, the people. Now, that being said, the trick, I think, is as long as we maintain our status with a Social Security number and are either lined up to receive benefits or are receiving benefits, we now are now on the same plane with the 14th Amendment and have no direct access, at least in the court's eyes, in the system's eyes, the government's eyes, to being anything other than 14th Amendment United States citizens. But this is all theory, so don't go anybody out and do this until we can figure this thing out. But the theory is that if we voluntarily surrender through public declaration or notice in a local newspaper or at the county, the surrendering of the Social Security number and the status with Social Security, that by doing so, we regain position as being the beneficiaries of the trust by giving up the benefit, and instead of taking the paltry $500 to $1,000 or whatever dollars a month, that we'd be able to have access to what was robbed from us through this process ending up at Seeding Company with Depository Trust Corporation, or we might be able to access that simply after eliminating the presumption of receiving a benefit. Now, like I said, I don't have the practical details on this, but I've run this past some pretty intelligent people, and they thought there might be something to this, and then we're regaining, along with doing so, regain our position as the sovereign position under the Republic. And by the way, it would not be a threat to anything. This would be the position of the founders. Again, like I said, this is pure theory at this point. It's just speculation. but I thought it'd be something worth having some fun with, and maybe somebody wanted to do some more research into, you know, how Social Security regards us once we've eliminated our presumed benefit status with them, and maybe other parts of the government, be a good study. And I, anyways, just put it out there.
Yeah, well, I look at the whole concept of elections as a fraud, because they're not representing the candidate to be who, you know, who they really are. They're hiding their identities.
Right.
Behind their purpose. And they're, you know, they have a publicly announced version of that. And, you know, you think politicians lie? Oh, my goodness. Some of the time? Oh, wow.
Well, all the time.
Yeah, you know, you and I got into some lofty conversations last week, and in a sense we did, although, you know, it sounds like we're griping about things, but we're drawing attention to the fact that we so readily accept these people are going to do what they say they're going to do. We even readily accept that they are who they say they are, and that's also a fiction. So
right.
This is one fraud perpetrated upon another fraud and another one, and it's all passed over on us. We have the responsibility to cover everything if we accept that responsibility. And I think it's about time that we start shifting the balance. Don't you, Greg?
I fully agree, Don. I'm really, well, first of all, being awake to the problem, like you've pointed out for years now, and or discovering solutions, absolutely. It's time to make a change, and I'm getting the truth out there, and I guess what I like about you, what you're doing is you're helping us cut through all the bull, and you're giving the opportunity for me and others of your really good guests to come on and cut through it, and to find not just to explain the problem more succinctly, but to actually point out a solution. So I think we're on track for a solution.
Yeah. I'd like to leave you and the listening audience with a parting thought here. And you can actually even comment on this as we close out our show for this evening. This is a quote from this whistleblower from the international financial community, okay? He said, I'm jumping into the middle of an explanation he's giving about many things, but he brings up Wantagate, and he brings up the bailout, and he says that it's probably closer to $3 quadrillion right now, the amount of debt that is hanging over the Federal Reserve and this charade that's going on in Washington. Gold and other metals do not vaporize. It is there somewhere. It could have been refined with new documents applied, but the certificate of ownership and certificate of origin would undoubtedly have been forged. On the other hand, it could have just been moved and then used as collateral for loans, etc. Only a full and intensive investigation will reveal exactly where it is and who has possession of it. And that, dear sir, is not as difficult as it sounds. We have a damn good idea who stole the gold and other metals, and when one thinks about it, that is not too difficult an issue to identify. As the only persons who have full access to assets and such information are the very people who are responsible for the protection of the assets on behalf of the world and its people. Those people's names or initials have previously been mentioned, justifiably, I should add, on many websites. They may not be the actual persons who stole the assets, but they are the ones who instigated this and obtained the benefits of same. I can give one instance, guaranteed to be actual and genuine, involving WJC, and his cronies during the 90s. There are many more. There are definitely paper trails, as you put it. Everything in this day and age is traceable, and governments are their own worst enemy because there are always paper trails. In addition to that, gold, like any other metal, has a DNA which can be traced. You also have to look at the World Bullion Authority and their excellent records. If gold or other precious metals turn up, which are not on record, then action is implemented straight away. You cannot sell or dispose of gold or other precious metals without the correct and legitimate documentation, all of which can be verified, even scientifically. Therefore, my assessment is that the missing gold and other metals are stored somewhere and being used as collateral through crooked banksters whose allegiance is to those who have stolen the gold or other metals. Not the ones the mainstream media would publicly reveal anyhow. Criminals stick together in such matters. Yes, there is infighting, but that is normal in any form of society. The criminals do not just consist of government people, but military, mainstream media, refineries, banks, investment houses, and more. In fact, the very people who have been complicit in the very financial crisis that has hit the world with force in the last 2 years. That's just a couple of paragraphs. Are you still with us, Greg? Or have we lost Greg? Well, Seth, if you can still hear me, we lost Greg. Can you try to get him back on the call? Well, I'm not hearing Seth. Okay, I think we're going to try to get Greg back on here. Thanks, Seth.
Hey, phone went dead.
Okay, we lost you there for a second.
Yeah, it completely went dead. I was listening to you, and all of a sudden you were gone.
Well, I don't know how much of what I read you heard, but
you
just started
to read it. I literally went dead as soon as you did your introduction.
Well, I won't put the listening audience through all this again, but basically,
right, it's okay.
It verifies from someone who is an insider in a governing agency on a world scale, mm-hmm. has basically said that there's a paper trail, and even the gold that is missing can be tracked and scientifically verified as to its origin. He says that even gold has DNA. So, you missed a doozy.
Did. Well, that's fantastic. Well, so you're saying that if it has been moved into the Philippines or to Cambodia or wherever it's been moved to, it's the gold could still be verified that it belongs to the people or the
the gold can be traced. It's been moved, even if it's smelted down, they can trace it. You know, if it's in bars, for example, and it's got serial numbers on it, and that's been melted down and fraudulently converted into something else, it can be traced. It can be found and it can be traced. Or traced, found, and analyzed. Let's put it that way.
Mm.
But this, I had read about two paragraphs of this gentleman's response, and basically it supports what I've been saying for the past 3 years. And there's quite a bit more that even further supports what I've been saying. So as a closing for tonight's show, it's all about the money, and what they've done can be found out. So they're doing everything they can. I was mentioning some of those who are responsible at the end, and I might repeat this because he says it's not just people in, and when he's speaking about the criminals involved in this, they're not just government people, but military, mainstream media, refineries, banks, investment houses, and more. So these are the people behind the financial crisis, and it's about corruption. pure and simple embezzlement.
Mm-hmm. Embezzling the hard-earned working people's existence and their labor, and leaving the
yeah.
people that work with nothing.
Now, this is significant because we could talk about them stealing paper bills, you know, freely, unencumbered, or they can keep printing it, right, as you pointed out at the top of the show. They keep
right.
printing this money out of thin air. And gold is a different situation in terms of what the world values as an economy. It's a gold-backed currency, so obviously gold is worth more than the paper money.
Absolutely. Oh, it's without a doubt. Unless we could do like Da Vinci did, or at least they speculate that he was able to perfect alchemy and create his own gold, then we're stuck with what resources are available on the earth. And obviously a valuable commodity, and at least it's been pretended to be, and I think it will always be a valuable commodity and or a valuable. But I don't. You know, are you thinking that we're going to get a money supply backed by gold again, or?
It's quite possible. In fact, why steal the gold? You see, ultimately the gold was the only thing of value. It was what the other currencies were backed by.
Yes.
So we're lied to about the reality of the economic system we have as well. I mean, every step of the way they lie. Now, if it was so important and they were so powerful, why would they have to lie about it?
It could be part of the illusion.
Yeah. I mean, this is all an illusion. That's the whole point that I made last week. It became very clear to me how much everything was just an illusion. I mean, we're talking about it so we can point out its fallacies
mm-hmm.
and its weaknesses. Because its strengths are in the fact that everybody involved in it at that level is corrupt, and they're protecting each other
as if they're about ready to be found out and to suffer a consequence as a result when people wake up and try to do
yeah.
something about it.
Which is why everything is being ramped up so much to silence us, you know, to stop the truth from coming out, because to bring it out eventually will lead us to all the truth.
Well, I know this much. Where I live, they've been hitting us with more chemtrails every day than the day before, practically. Every sunny day is blasted. The air changes. People are sick. It's supposed to be summertime. People should be well, get out and get some sunshine. And the chemtrails are affecting people in multiple ways, allergies and breathing problems and weird flu viruses and you name it, it's going on. And I mean, I left L.A. to get away from all the crappy air, and I moved to an area with a fraction of the population with more air pollution than I suffered from in L.A. back in the 60s and 70s. So
mm-hmm.
All I know is that these people must really be afraid to have to do all this stuff to us. They must really be frightened.
Yeah.
Oh, wake up, what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah. There is one sentence out of this that's worth, because I don't think you heard this, or I
didn't hear any of it. No, go ahead.
Okay. And I hadn't read this to the audience either. To steal or move the assets would not be shown of the balance sheets of any, I think it should say off the balance sheets of any banks. The current financial crisis is not just about balance sheet assets values, CDOs, CDs, etc. A very large part of the problem emanates from the illegal use of assets of the collateral accounts by the banks and government with their spectacular and fantasy financial operations amounting to approximately $3 quadrillion U.S. dollars in value, for which they have been caught with their pants down, but whom are placing the responsibility firmly on the shoulders of the taxpayer.
That's
okay.
That's it.
That's That's the state we're in. Now, do we put up with that, or do we do something about it? Maybe on your next appearance, on the 28th, I believe. No, wait, that's not the 28th now. We changed that, didn't we?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We'll
okay.
do it. We'll jump right in that one then. Okay.
It's going to have to be in May, but I would say we should also look at this in conjunction with the individual aspects of extricating ourselves from this matrix, as you like
well,
to call it.
Well, I should have mastered a lot more of the details by then, too, Don, so we'll have fun, because I'm studying this issue right now, so and we actually put it into practice, so I look forward to it. We'll have fun.
Okay, well, we're out of time. Sorry we lost you there. I don't know what happened, but we got you back.
It happened several times since I've been on with you, but that's okay.
Okay, make sure you pay your phone bill. That's the first
thing.
Yeah,
no, it was okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Greg nice Pappas, thanks for being on the show, and we'll have you on in early May to pick up this topic again.
Great.
And go in a little more depth.
So
okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio, and our special guest, Greg Pappas, he will be with us next month, God willing. In the meantime, special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish you all a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.